Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we open your word now, we ask that you, through the power of the Spirit, would so illuminate our hearts and minds that we would think differently, feel differently, that this gospel would so captivate us that we would indeed begin to really hunger and thirst for righteousness, to hunger and thirst for this table and what this means of grace means in our life. Father, we pray that you would remove all the things that might be distracting us, all those things that are horizontal as our eyes shift, looking at others, wondering about what we're going to do in an hour or tomorrow, all the weight of worries which could so consume us. For this moment, Lord, please cause us to be still and to know that you are God. This we pray in Jesus' name with great expectation and hope. Amen. I shared in the last hour that I truly love worshiping with you on Sunday mornings in this sanctuary at this time. One of the blessings of being a pastor is I get to do this twice a week, sometimes three times, and to hear and see, to witness what God is doing in your life, in my life, is truly amazing. It's always a testimony to the Holy Spirit, the one who began a work in every believer's life. At some moment in their life, whether as a child or as an adult, the switch goes on. Suddenly they want something which they would have never wanted before, but the Spirit moves. So much do I love to worship with this body that when we go on vacation, we miss it. We know it's appropriate for us to, as a family, to have time away and to go to other places, but we miss it. Namely, we miss you. We miss hearing your voices and seeing your faces and knowing that there is a hunger and expectation in this body to walk closer with Jesus, to see more of his glory, to anticipate more his return, which he promised. Already what we've been singing of our going home, of this peace which he and he alone can give, well, it causes my heart to swell. So much so that this weekend, even late last night, I wasn't in the city. I was in St. Louis. I worked hard to figure out a flight that could get me back to be here with you this morning. Not because I'm the only one that can preach. That's not true. We have great preachers on this staff. But because I want to be with you. And so at 3:45, my alarm went off. And I got my things together and got in my little rental car. 16 degrees in St. Louis this morning. It was cold. Especially when I realized I needed to fill the tank with gas. Made it to the plane, 6 o'clock departure, arrived here at 7:45. It took me almost as long to drive here from DFW as it did to fly here from St. Louis. Where was I? I was at a wedding. Tony Howard, one of our first youth interns, got married. He married a young woman named Caroline Gamache, who was discipled by my wife years ago when we were in St. Louis. 8 years ago, this last Thursday to be exact, is when we arrived in Dallas to begin the work here. We had a rich time last night, a reunion, so to speak, of boys who are now men, women who once were girls in high school, now grown women, who were walking with the Lord in the most profound way. And during the ceremony, I had an experience that I had yet to have. Of all the weddings I've done, and all the weddings I anticipate doing, I've never had the experience where somebody faints. Every time I tell the bridal party, I've never had it happen. I'm not trying to jinx you, but I've never had it happen. But it did last night. Lee, Tony's stepbrother, begins to wobble right in the middle of my message. I kept going. The guys gathered around him, escorted him down. But then, not to be outdone, a young woman in the middle of the vows decides she needs to even out the parties. So she drops as well. I'd never had that happen. Wasn't sure what to do. So I just kind of kept going. And then I used prayer as an appropriate transition while we got all things back under control. That night at the reception, Caroline's dad gave a toast and it was beautiful until he turned on me and began to roast me for what had happened. He said, I've heard that you've begun to speak and preach on the Holy Spirit. And indeed, even last night, I talked about the Holy Spirit in marriage. He said, but I didn't know that you believed in the Holy Spirit slaying people so that they would drop to their knees. Brothers and sisters, people have a lot of ideas about the Holy Spirit. We know as brothers and sisters in Christ that there's more to know. There must be. When Jesus says that it is better for me to depart, for if I don't, you would not receive the Holy Spirit, it means that there must be something really good that we must be seeking, that we must be asking for, that we must be expecting. And it is indeed this Spirit. In these few short verses, Jesus teaches us so much about the Holy Spirit. I want to mention just a few things as we come to the table, reminding you that we're in the beginning stages of a long series on the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want you to notice about this passage in the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a gift. People want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but before we go there, let's talk about the Holy Spirit as a gift. Look with me at verse 16. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Jesus is telling them of his departure. They have been together for 3 years. What did it feel like for these men to know that this God-man is soon to depart? Much mystery surrounds this. They don't fully understand. But then he says to them, "I'm going to the Father, and I'm asking him for a gift. And the gift that he is going to give you is the Holy Spirit." So the first thing I want us to know is that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God the Father at the request of Jesus the Son. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 11 just for a minute. If you didn't bring yours, pull the blue pew Bible out in front of you. In this passage, Jesus has just answered a prayer request. The prayer request was from the disciples who said, "Lord, teach us to pray." This is actually the theme verse for our men's prayer gathering. It's what we've been focusing on. Lord, teach us to pray. At the end of this lesson, Jesus then goes on to use a very simple parable. In verse 11 of chapter 11 of Luke, he says this: "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How does he describe the earthly fathers? What word does he use? Evil. And he says, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts. Think about the season we're just coming out of. Fathers buying good gifts for their children. He goes on in this parable to describe that we have the one true Heavenly Father who so much more is going to give us a gift. But Jesus specifically says the gift is what? The Holy Spirit. And then goes on to say, this gift will be given to those who ask him. We're going to unpack that over the next several weeks. The gift from God the Father at the request of the Son is the Holy Spirit. And he's called Helper. Another translation could be Comforter or Advocate. This is the gift that God the Father has given us at the request of the Son. Go back to John 14. What else does it teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us that his Spirit will dwell in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Look with me at verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Pause. Confess that you have paid so little attention to this. The Holy Spirit, for those who have professed faith in Christ, is in you. God is in you. You are not God. You are not God. I am not God. But God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in every believer. He's in you. That is so profound that if we would pause simply to remember that he is everywhere present. And for those who profess faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit is actually dwelling in them. He has made his home there, so to speak. He's in you, Donna Detter. He's present in you. He is in you, Boots. He's in you. He is in Bill. He's in me. He's in Colin. He is in Kristen. He's in all who profess faith in Christ. What's so profound about that is that the world in which we live in, so full of brokenness and pain and anxiety and fear and hurt and illness and disease, those things can feel as if they're ever present. But in reality, they're not. But he is, and he's in you. It's so significant that as we enter into a sanctuary to sing, we should know that reality, that this isn't something that we just check the box off on. This isn't a form of entertainment that we go through each week. This isn't a way of getting our ducks in a line. This is the reality of hundreds and even thousands of people on a given Sunday coming to this place who all have the Holy Spirit in them, who are seeking to worship God. You know, in churches, conflict often happens. Why? Because we're sinners. We get distracted. We think wrong thoughts in our flesh. But whenever we pause for a moment to realize that every saint, every person who's professed faith in Christ has the Holy Spirit in them, it should cause us to be a bit more sober. That there is a brother who has an argument or a conflict with another brother, but they're both brothers, which means that Christ, through his Spirit, is in them. The Holy Spirit dwells there. It should cause us to be far more humble, far more loving, far more willing to give the benefit of the doubt and to pursue a relationship where reconciliation really exists for the sake of God. Do you live in the reality that the Holy Spirit is in you? It's powerful. He's powerful. Jesus goes on to teach that the Holy Spirit, this gift from God the Father through the request of the Son, is in us, dwelling in us. But he also speaks specifically about his role here, something else we will continue to unpack. In verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will," two things, "teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit, Helper, Comforter, Advocate, is in you. And what he's doing in you is teaching you. The moment in which you profess faith in Christ, someone shared with you words, the holy word of God, and the Spirit moved in such a way where it made sense, that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. And there was a Savior who went to the cross, whose blood was shed so that you could be washed in that blood so that you might have saving faith. The Holy Spirit turned that on in your mind. He turned it on in your heart. And suddenly you embrace this Jesus freely offered in the gospel who went to the cross and conquered it. He continues to work in our lives by teaching us more and more and more about God's holy word, about how we are to follow this one who has done so much for us. But he does something else. He brings to our mind, he reminds us of the things that Jesus said. In a few minutes, when we come to this table, you will hear me say at some moment, "This do in remembrance of me." So what role does the Holy Spirit play in this table? If we believe that outside of the Holy Spirit's indwelling power, we could come to this table in a way that was profound, we are very foolish. Churches all over this city, this country, and this world will participate in this sacrament. Many will do it simply as a ritual, something they do perhaps every week. They will simply take part and move on. But when the Holy Spirit is in his people, suddenly, it means so much more. He reminds you of the things that Jesus said, that Jesus was indeed leaving, that Jesus was going to suffer and then leave, preparing a place for his people, and that one day he would return. And when he returns, every knee would bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we will, as we've sung already today, see Jesus and gaze upon his face. This table, without the Holy Spirit, is simply a ritual or an act that you might go through. But with the Holy Spirit, suddenly that which you hold in your hand reminds you that Christ died. That which you hold in your hand, this cup, reminds you that blood was shed. The very blood that has washed us, what? Clean. Without the Holy Spirit, we simply would be a gathering of people who are going through the motions, maybe just trying to feel better about who we are in our life. But with the Holy Spirit, he reminds us that this table was something that Christ commanded, and that the church is to continue to partake so that we would remember. And to help us remember, he gave us the helper. Ask for the helper. Ask the Father to fill you with that Spirit.